You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
An old man back in my hometown, they gave me this plot of land. Me and some other men for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up the flag and told my mom and dad, "I'm proud of your son." I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. And I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. When we finally found that cross, he said, "Son, this is what it costs to keep us free." Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. Recognized me on the day that I came in, and it gave me the chills when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. One of the chosen ones, I made it to Arlington. I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. And I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I made it to Arlington. I made it to Arlington.
Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that God is able from these stones even to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and the chaff he'll burn up with unquenchable fire." So the message that John had been sent by the Holy Spirit to go preach was, hey, you all better repent, because the guy that I'm preparing the way for, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who's to come, he's going to clean house. And if you don't get right, he's going to take an axe to the root of the tree. He's got his winnowing fork in his hand, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Folks, you just better get ready, because this guy is going to get things made right. But now John's in prison. Listen again to the text. And he's hearing about the deeds of Christ. What's he hearing about Jesus? When Jesus came on the scene, did he lay the axe to the root of the tree? Did he have his winnowing fork in his hand? Or did Jesus walk around and heal people, lovingly teach people? He was called a friend of sinners. And so now, John's got a conundrum, because what he knows the Spirit of God had told him to say, what he knows the Word of God was being true, that he was to preach, is now not lining up with what's happening. And here's where I want to go with you today. John got a bellyache because he got his prophecies out of order. And that's one of the biggest issues I see in the Christian church today. Is, first of all, very few churches study prophecy. I know you have a heart for it, and that's great, and we need to keep studying prophecy. But one of the problems our churches have is we get our prophecies out of order. You see, he had prophesied that Jesus was going to clean house, and yes, he will come clean house one day. But John didn't understand that there were other prophecies about the Messiah that had to be fulfilled first. And because he got the prophecies out of order, and because he got God's timetable out of order, and because he got God's schedule out of order, it caused him to have problems. I'm not going to go there in too much detail, but let me just tell you, I can promise you that if you're having any type of issues here in this church, one of them is you thought you would have been further along as a church than you are by now. But God has his own schedule and his own timing. And we'll get to some of that in a little bit. So what I want to do is I want to show you what Jesus does. He's hearing that Jesus isn't doing what he had been preaching he would do. And it's caused him to wonder. Jesus says to his disciples, "You go back and you tell John what you hear and see," but he sends them to go back and quote to him Isaiah 61. Go to Isaiah 61. He says, "You go back and you tell him the good news is being preached to the poor." A very, very familiar prophecy passage about the coming Messiah. All along, we've already seen twice that in the book of Isaiah, it talked about John the Baptist as the one who prepares the way for the Lord and the one crying out in the wilderness. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Look, you go back and tell John to reread Isaiah. Everything's right on schedule." Isaiah 61, look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." That's what Jesus quoted back in Matthew 11. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." You see, yes, he was going to and is going to lay his axe to the root of the trees. Yes, he is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Yes, when he comes, he's going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, those who enter the kingdom of God versus those who don't enter the kingdom of God. Yes, that's all going to be done. But we are right now in the time period that the prophecies had said was going to happen prior to that, where he was going to come and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he was going to come and bind the brokenhearted. He was going to heal. He was going to express grace and offer love and mercy to people who will repent and turn to him. Go to Luke chapter 4. We get a little bit more information in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 about this passage. Because there's something that a lot of people have missed in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. Keep a bookmark in Isaiah 61 if you can. I hope I didn't tell you to turn too soon. But put a bookmark back in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Because there's something very interesting that happens when Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth. And in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, it says, "And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Now, for those of you that have your book, your finger in Isaiah 61, what did Jesus do with verse 2? Look at Isaiah 61 again. Let me read to you verse 2 in Isaiah. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." But in Luke chapter 4, when he's in his hometown, he intentionally unrolls the scroll to that passage. And he reads and he says, and let me find it again here. And he reads and he says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll. Now, Isaiah 61 has the word "and" in it, doesn't it? Isaiah 61 says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." It's very clear in the Hebrew that sentence wasn't done. But Jesus, when he goes into his hometown, he opens it to that passage. He reads verse 1. He reads the beginning of verse 2, stops in the middle of verse 2, and stops right when it says, "Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," rolls up the scroll, doesn't read the rest of the verse. Anybody have any idea why? That time wasn't to be fulfilled yet. See, the first time he came to seek and save the lost. He came to die for the sins of the world. Yes, he's coming back. Yes, he's going to clean house. Yes, everything that John the Baptist had been saying was true. Yes, they were to repent and get ready for a Messiah that was going to do what the Messiah is going to do. But they didn't understand that there were many other prophecies about this Messiah, also back in Isaiah chapter 53, which talked about how he was going to be crushed and bruised for our iniquities, how he's going to be that suffering servant who wouldn't open his mouth. And many of the things that the scripture said was going to happen, they jumped to the other ones and missed the earlier ones. And that happens to many of us, because we all want things to happen on our schedule. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, and I want to show our hands, how many of you in your life today, right now, God is working everything out just like you want him to? I can't raise my hand either. I got cancer. I got good news for everybody that didn't raise their hand. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 6. There's a promise in Matthew 11, verse 6. Vance Havner calls it the forgotten beatitude. If I were to ask you to list the beatitudes, you would start in Matthew 5 and you would say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who mourn." But there's a beatitude here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, that very few people know about, and we need to get it in our hearts. And then Jesus says in verse 6, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Let me paraphrase this for you. Jesus says, you go back and tell John the Baptist everything's right on schedule. The prophecies that said that I'd be doing these things have been there all along, and I'm doing everything that the prophecy said I would do in my timetable, in my way, and blessed are those who are not offended by how I run my world.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency. which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the word